Two things before I begin. One thing is I'm glad that I'm protected here. Mostly Latino pastors teach us to walk all over the place and jump and sometimes run. So this is nice. Maybe at one point your pastor were that way and somebody decided to build something. I don't know. The other things that you should be aware of is that I am Mexican and English is not my first or second language. So pay attention sometimes with words that I say. Maybe it's not correct. The pronunciation is not very well. So bear with me, okay? So my name is Jose Angel Lopez, or Angel. I've been in Canada and in the United States, and they call me Angel. So Angel or Angel is fine. And the U.S. is my third country that I have the privilege to live in. And I don't know if God has plans for me to move on to another country. I hope not. But if God says you need to go, my prayer to God is that send me to a country that already speaks English or Spanish. Because learning a new language and saying goodbye to a friend is always difficult. Very difficult. Psalm 43 is connected to Psalm 42. You know Psalm 42 very well. As a deer longs for flowing stream, so my soul longs for you, O God. Psalm 43 is the last part of the longer prayer. Okay? So Psalm 42 is stage a question basically from the prayer and ask the psalmist, where is your God? Where is your God? The psalmist at 43, in 43 says, my God is here. And I'm speaking with the divine. My God is here. This answer is a nonsense for the world. Talking to an invisible God and expecting justice and expecting care and expecting refuge? Seriously? Yeah. This is the God of Abraham. It's the God of my grandfather, my mother. This is your God. This is my God. This is our God. Amen? I do not know how you, the people of this town, lament. I have lived here for almost 5 years, but I have not seen yet a non-Mexican person crying with me or crying with somebody else. It is uncommon here to see people lamenting this way. I really don't know when or where you lament. One of the ways Mexican lament, or more exactly, people from Chiapas lament, is by crying in public or in private. They, mostly Christian or non-Christian, protest to God. They ask, why, God? Why is this happening to me? No, dear God, why do you take him or you take her? I have seen lots of Mexicans lamenting this way. People might say that we are too emotional, perhaps. But I would dare to say that Mexican people cry a lot. People from Chiapas cry a lot, lament a lot. For all over the centuries, the Book of Psalms has been the school of prayer.
Here we are inspired and instructed on how we express with our heart, with our soul, with our hands, with our feet, with our entire body. We express our misery, our happiness too. We learn to express it in words and poetry. We sing, we cry. We praise in God through our tears, through our life. Amen? For Calvin, we're in the Reformed Church. For Calvin, for instance, song was considered by him as a little Bible, small Bible. He said, Psalms, the book of Psalms, was a reflection of the entire Bible. Here we found the words of God, the words of God and humanity together. I'm always thrilled to know that Jesus knew the Psalms and memorized. For example, Psalm 118 says, the stone that the builders reject has become the chief cornerstone. Jesus knew the Psalms. But before getting into it, I want you to understand one more thing. How do you read Psalm 43? At what voice you read it? Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. Or you say, vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. Literally, how do you read this psalm? I pay little attention to how I read this particular psalms of lament. I wonder how a person who has lost a loved one this year, this month, this week, today would read this psalm. For the last couple of years, people have been shot at the borders, on the street, at the hospital, at the school, at the library, at the church, at the nightclub, inside and outside of their car. A couple days ago, I found myself facing my computer, crying. I saw people killing. I saw people dying. How do you read this psalm? How do you think the families of these people who are dying or are killing are reading this psalm? How will you read the psalms? How do you read the psalms this week? How will you read this prayer? As I read commentaries, I realized that Psalm 43 was possible. The psalmist was an immigrant during the exile of the people of God, doing this kind of prayer. He or her was taken to a strange land far away from home. Far away. As I read the local history of your town, I love your history. I love history. Not only from 1875 when the pioneers came to this place, but the recent history of 1956 and after. I realized that many of your grandfathers and fathers immigrated to this country. Can you imagine being 10, 13, or 16 years old saying goodbye to your grandparents from a harbor somewhere in the Netherlands or in Europe? Perhaps this was the last time to see your loved one. Life is not always the life we imagine. Sometimes terrible and cruel, full of pain and anxiety. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you cast me off? And other versions say, "You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me?" protests the psalmist. As I'm telling you this part of your story, I might be scratching an old wound among you, going to somewhere far away from home. It's very difficult. Believe me. It is from this kind of pain and love that we can begin imagining how the psalmist prayed this prayer. Where is your God? My God is here and he is my refuge, said the psalmist. It is not from doubt that he asks why. Why you have cast me off. But I believe that this prayer comes from unbreakable faith that he's asking why. As your missionaries or someone in this congregation, and they will tell you how they have read this psalm in the past. But there is a question for me here. Who is the psalmist? It is you, or me, or someone else. Angel, this is the beauty of the psalmist. It can be anyone who believes in the living God, said, I was told by one of my professors at my seminary. As a boy, I never paid attention to the context in which the psalmist was praying till one night. When I was not able to sleep for the lack of food, I hear a whisper, not from my stomach. Broken words and tears in the middle of the night. It was my mother praying for food for her children, six of us. I realized that night that the psalmist was at home, asking faithfully, protesting faithfully, living faithfully, and even dying faithfully in the middle of the night. The powerful strength of the psalmist is that he's giving us the space to all of us. The psalmist is giving us his shoes. And we became him or her when we pray. Where is your God? My God is here with me, and I am taking refuge in him. But even if we understand the psalmist's context, even if we can imagine being present with him or her, there is something that we might not comprehend. Why the psalmist, in the darkness of his life, could still believe and care to pray to the invisible God? You might wonder why he cares, why she cares to pray in that darkness, in that time. I do not know you. Perhaps you're a visitor this morning, or you are a faithful. You have been faithful all your life to this church. Maybe you are the president of the congregation, one of your pastors. Perhaps you work at Pope College. You are one of the staff of the seminary, and you're teaching about this invisible God. Perhaps you are a member of the choir, of the consistory. You are young or senior. But I believe that one day, one night, you might be praying this prayer. Sooner or later, this happened. What kind of relationship is this? What kind of mystery is this? Who is this God? Who are you? What kind of faith is this? A couple years ago, I moved to North America. You have
very short summers. You have very long winters. So I began to watch Christmas movies on those winters. Like It's a Wonderful Life by director Frank Capra. Have you seen that movie? Yeah? Good. For those who haven't seen it, so sorry if I spoil the ending for you. George Bailey, the main character, all his life wanted to help and support his people. But one day was too much for him. All collapsed. His world was upside down. On a winter, on a very cold day, in the middle of the breach, ready to take his life, he wishes not to have been born. You must be desperate to do and to wish that. The angel, not me, another angel, took note of this and showed George Bailey a community without him. Not Bailey alone at all. Never born. As Bailey realized, a world without him was not an answer either. So he prayed again to be back, and he was sent back to the same place, to the same time. To the same time and place he came back. To the breach, to the winter cold, to the upside down world, to the very reason he wanted to die in the first place. But this time, George Bailey came back and found all the things the same. But this time, George Bailey came back and found all things different too. We are called to live on and believe in this mysterious faith that all things are new every day. And hope is there waiting for us in Christ. Christ. I wish this mystery could be obvious, a George Bailey experience in his life, but it's not. What I want you to see is that the psalmist is free. Freedom is around him in God, in Christ. Even in the present circumstances, far away from home, he or she is free. The psalmist has been in the mountaintop. He has seen the past, the present, and the future in Christ. So nothing's. He has seen all. This is the mystery in Christ. Our Lord and our Savior. Our refuge in time of trouble. This is the freedom in which you speak, cry, and probably die. Here today, we are to believe in the incarnate Lord. In communion, we lift up our hearts, our pastors. We declare that the bread and the wine are the sign of communion with our God. Again and again, we pray to the invisible God because He's here. Where is your God? Where is your God? My God is here. Hope Church, the psalmist from Psalm 43 wants to remind us that there is absolutely nothing that we can do without God. In the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit, we speak. Amen.